really dumb mistakes sometimes.
I know. It's self-inflicted.
And everybody, welcome to the Recreation Committee, Monday, October 5th. It is 8:32 right now, so we're starting just 2 minutes behind, but we will hopefully catch up quickly. Item number one is the call to order, which we've already done. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the August 31st, 2020 meeting.
Move to.
Second.
So we have a move to approval and a second. All right, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The ayes have it. Item number four is discussion and possible action regarding the name. I'm sorry?
Public comment.
Oh, public comments. I'm sorry. I checked it off. Thank you. Item number three is public comments. If anybody has any public comments they'd like to, or anything they'd like to say, you're welcome to come up to the podium, give your name and address, and we'll give you a couple of minutes.
Good morning. My name is Julian Hopkins. I live 1090 Marsh Court Lane, Mount Pleasant. I put together an email that I sent to council about renaming the Blessing of the Fleet, the Wayne Magwood Memorial Blessing of the Fleet. And I didn't do a petition or ask people to inundate y'all with stuff, but on my Facebook page, it got like over 250 shares. I don't know where it went from them, from there. But anyway, I thought it would be a neat idea to rename or add Wayne's name in addition on the annual Blessing of the Fleet, especially since he was one of the original founders of it. And I was happy to see the next item on the agenda is action regarding the boardwalk, which I think is a good idea too. My main thing is I just wanted to make sure that something got done to honor Wayne. He's such a good ambassador to the town for so long and his family. So yeah. As long as we do something, I'll be sure it's the right thing.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thanks, Hoppy. Anybody else? All right, seeing number one, seeing nobody, we'll move on to item number four, discussion and possible action regarding the naming of the boardwalk at Shim Creek. I'd just like to read something I prepared a little bit. Our community has suffered a great loss in losing Captain Wayne Magwood. I'd like to welcome his family today, but unfortunately, I guess they had some things that they had to do, so they weren't, unless there's somebody here from the family. I didn't see anybody come in, but I had notified him about this, and anyway, Wayne and the Magwood family are part of the fabric of Mount Pleasant. As you know, they've been shrimping and fishing on the creek for many years, and it was very important that we recognize them as well as a lot of the things that Wayne was involved with, as Hoppy said, Blessing of the Fleet. When people think about Mount Pleasant, they think of shrimping, and when people think about shrimping, they think of the Magwood family and Captain Wayne. Shim Creek has become an iconic part of this region, and it's because of the Magwood family. So I think it's fitting and timely, given Wayne's passing, that the town rename the Shim Creek Boardwalk to the Magwood Boardwalk. And as chairman, I would accept a motion for this to happen from committee members.
Move to approve. I move to recommend to full council that we do this.
Okay. Second. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. All right. We will move on to item number five, which is approval to create a capital fund account to house donations for the Maritime Heritage Center.
Councilman Santos, if you may, just for a moment. You had previously, Brad Morrison is here. You wanted to talk about the bike lanes.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm sorry.
Would you like to cover that?
Brad, thank you for coming. I did want to do that. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to go along with the agenda, and I forgot to handwrite that in. But in addition to naming the boardwalk after the Magwood family, we talked about trying to make Shim Creek area from Mill Street over to Shrimp Boat Lane a little bit safer. Because as you see here, the bike path stops at Mill Street and then starts again back over at Pelzer or Shrimp Boat Lane. And so we talked about including that over the bridge there to make it safer for bicyclists and pedestrians to be able to cross it. And so I've asked Brad to come here today to give us an update, which is, I'm really excited about the information that you're going to give us, because we're going to make this area a lot safer for pedestrians and for the biking community. We have Katie Zimmerman over here who represents the biking community. And so, Katie, after he finishes, if you'd like to say anything, you're welcome to. All right, Brad, we'll defer to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This is a CIP project approved several years ago. We're coming down the home stretch as far as moving to construction. It is the project between Pelzer and Mill Street you see here on the slide, and it involves reapportioning the existing cross-section in that area to accommodate 4-foot bike lanes. So, as you said, Mr. Chairman, we have, on either side, we have bike lanes, including the new bike lanes for Coleman and that project. So this really kind of completes that gap and makes it safer for the bicyclists using crossing Shem Creek Bridge. Let's move on to the next slide. It gives a little bit more detail. So here you see just some very conceptual designs where we does show the boardwalk, but you can also see in this area, in the eastbound direction, you can see that 4-foot bike lane, same in the west, I'm sorry, west, eastbound here, westbound this way. And then as you get further down towards Coleman and Mill Street, you see where we break that bike lane out into between the turn lanes. And in this instance, we have approval from FHWA to do the green pavement, which is really be the first time, I believe, in the Charleston area where we have this. So something new, definitely safer for the bicyclists. And you can see the schedule. James Aton in our department is moving this project through project development. We're really almost complete with design plans. We're starting right away, and we expect construction to begin next June. So it's a very exciting project. Federal grants, about 75% of the project money. So hopefully this time next year, we'll be looking at bike lanes and doing some sort of ribbon cutting for it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I know it's important. Like I said, we've heard talk about it needs to be safer, and clearly I think this demonstrates that it will be safer once it's done. Especially with the green markings, I think it's going to make it more visible to the cars that that is a pedestrian or bike path. So, absolutely. Katie, would you like to say anything?
Thank you.
If you come up to the podium, give your name and address for the record, please, ma'am. Now, Katie has ridden her bike all the way from West Ashley to be here today, so that's quite a feat.
Yeah. Just thank you all for considering all of this, and I think...
Can you give your name and address for the record?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
I apologize. Katie Zimmerman, Executive Director of Charleston Moves. I'm at 57 Cannon Street downtown, and I just thank you for doing all of this in honor of Captain Magwood, and also helping to... I think this whole area, having it be a space that is sort of a people-first space, mm-hmm. and doing everything possible to get drivers and everybody to slow down, pay attention to others, defer to others, allow people to move through that space safely. The green paint, you're right, that's going to draw serious attention to this is not a space for you to fly through. This is not a space for you to just not pay attention if you're turning. It's going to make this entire area better economically, for safety, and for enjoyment. And I just think you all are on the right track, and it's wonderful to see. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Katie, and thanks for coming. I know that was a long trip, but I appreciate it. And I'd like to recognize Kevin Mitchell as well. Kevin's in the audience in case we need anything. Kevin was the one behind, the engineering and the work on the boardwalk. So if anybody has any questions, technical questions, he's here to be able to answer it. Okay, anything else on that? All right, we'll move forward then to approval to create a capital fund to house donations for the Maritime Heritage Center.
Mr.?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
So this item came about because I have been in communication with the Magwood family, and one of the things that they would like to do to honor Wayne Magwood's memory is build a bronze statue, kind of representing the shrimping industry, and potentially house that at Shem Creek Park. In doing that, she also wants to create a maritime heritage center. Trustee Melichamp, who's Wayne Magwood's daughter, has written a book that is amazing with so much history of the maritime history of Mount Pleasant with photographs dating back, you know, decades. And I think the ultimate goal would be to create a museum exhibit. You know, I'm not exactly certain what the super long-term goal would be, but in the short term, there's so much movement in the community of wanting to honor Wayne Magwood's memory. And so Ms. Melichamp wants to create this bronze statue for housing. And while she is getting a 501c3 set up, and she needs support to do that, she wants to be able to direct the community to a place where they can make donations. So that's why the town could potentially house these funds, those donations for the Maritime Heritage Center and this bronze statue. And then once her structure is set up, the funds would move over there to support the building of that bronze.
Good.
So I move to approve the creation of this account.
Second.
Just as a point of clarification, we do not have an action item on this. It just basically says approval to create it. So we're okay, Eric, to go ahead and make a motion to do this? Okay,
yes.
Good. I just want to make sure. Great. All right, we got a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Mm-mm.
I think it's a great idea. Thanks, Jim. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. All right, so let's see, now we're down to number 7, review of Memorial Waterfront Park Phase 3 options and cost estimates. And
item number 6, I believe.
Number 6,
I'm sorry, I jumped again. Recognition of Arts and Humanities Month and of the award recipient.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. October is National Arts and Humanities Month, and Nicole Harvey from Nicole Harvey oversees our CAP Commission, the Cultural Arts and Pride Commission, and they have nominated somebody to recognize as a recipient of the award for the National Arts and Humanities Month, and she will also explain some information about the award itself. Nicole?
Good morning. As you may or may not know, October is Arts and Humanities Month in our nation. And so to honor that, the Culture Arts and Pride Commission nominates someone to receive the Town of Mount Pleasant Arts and Humanities Award. So this year, the CAP commissioners have selected Marie-Louise Moretto. She unfortunately is not able to be with us today. She's caring for an ill family member, so she has a representative here, and we will arrange a time, hopefully, to get a photo op and do a press release with her at a later time. But Marie-Louise Moretto is a collage and mixed media artist with a background in theater and television. She is president of the board of directors for the Mount Pleasant Community Arts Center, where she spearheads the organization's goal of creating a physical space in Mount Pleasant to support the performing, visual, and literary arts. She worked with town officials to set up a donor fund, allowing the town to accept donations toward the effort to make this long-desired facility a reality. Moretto works tirelessly to increase artistic opportunities for local and regional amateurs and professionals, promote local artists, increase the economic impact and sustainability of the arts in Mount Pleasant, and to establish Mount Pleasant as a regional arts leader. She is a former member of the Culture Arts and Pride Commission, where, amongst many other achievements, she helped the Commission's first mural project come to life at the Mount Pleasant Recreation Department's Miriam Brown Community Center in 2014. She also is a past president of the Mount Pleasant Artists Guild, which brought together artists to paint that same mural. Ms. Moretto was a member of the National Academy of Arts and Sciences and a judge for the Emmy Awards. She has retired from the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and International Alliance of Theatrical Employees. Other professional affiliations include a lifetime member of New York's Ensemble Studio Theater, a member of the Charleston Symphony Orchestra League, a member of the Charleston Association of Grant Professionals. The town owes Marie-Louise Moretto a debt of gratitude for her efforts to promote arts and humanities in our community. Any of you who know her know that she works tirelessly in furthering this goal. Here to accept the honor for her is Carol Hallman, who is a fellow board member. I'll call her up now. She'd like to say a few words. And I'm presenting you with a certificate right now because I will do, we'll do the plaque and a picture later.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. My name is Carol Hallman, and I live at 2352 Parsonage Woods Lane in Mount Pleasant. And on behalf of Marie Louise Moretto and the Mount Pleasant Community Arts Center, I am honored to receive this award representing the arts. In recent years, Mount Pleasant has developed into a prominent and respected city. And as we all know, one of the hallmarks of any fine city is that they provide citizens with the facilities and programs they need in the areas of arts, recreation, health and fitness, cultural pride, and enjoyment of nature. Mount Pleasant has a lot to be proud of in these areas. And the arts are the next area that requires significant focus and investment. That has been one of the calling cards of Marie Louise's contribution to this city. We at the MPCAC continue to work hard to bring a state-of-the-arts community arts center to our town. You may have seen Sunday's Post and Courier article about the opening of the restored Sotilli Theater. The Sotilli is the latest multi-million dollar upgrade to Charleston's top drawer artistic venues, which include the Gilliard, the Gibbs Museum, and the Dock Street Theater. Mount Pleasant currently does not have any top drawer artistic venues. Our goal at the MPCAC is to fill that void by creating an iconic community arts center that will support Mount Pleasant's visual, performing, and literary arts. As we do this, we want you to know we realize we don't need to totally reinvent the wheel. For example, we recognize how our recreation committee has developed an enviable citywide programming and facilities infrastructure for sports and fitness. We can learn from this example and apply it as we move forward with our plans to create a top drawer arts center that is worthy of Mount Pleasant citizens. So thank you again for taking time in your agenda to recognize the importance of the arts as represented in this award and for giving me a moment to remind you of how we hope to enhance our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicole. And Nicole, just if you would give your team and yourself and your team a congratulations on them. I know it was a long week and weekend with all the various functions we had, and I was at the opera at the park, and that was really great. Even the Wine Under the Oaks down at Town Center, same thing. Both of those were outstanding events. So if you will pass on to your staff, thanks for everything that they've done. All right, now we'll move on to item number 7, review the Memorial Waterfront Park Phase 3 options and cost estimates. And Steve, I'll defer to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning again. We have Herb Gilliam here today, who has helped us develop our master plan with all of the different options that have been presented to us for consideration. He was able to put together a master plan to present to you today, and also cost estimates that we can discuss which options we would like to incorporate into with the existing funding that we have. So, Herb, I'll turn it over to you. Here we go. This is the master plan. The next slide, and the laser pointer. I'll give you a laser pointer. Laser pointer on, and there you go.
Thank you, Steve. What this is basically an exercise in geometry. What we were asked to do, there was a list of items that I believe the committee came up with that wanted us to see what we could exactly fit in the area that is, I guess, to the east, northeast of Harry Hallman Boulevard, and I'm just going to walk you through what we've included. One of the things that was in the original master plan was a lawn and overflow parking area. What we found when we were studying how the space is used now is that we could get more parking spaces if we organized it, so that's what we did with this lawn and overflow parking area. You know, maybe 330 or 340 days out of the year it's a park, but when we need that overflow parking, we can organize the parking with the the allay of palm trees, and that picks up additional parking space. In this, what's considered phase three of the development of Waterfront Park, we added some asphalt parking area. It's kind of a dead zone right now, and we can connect it to the existing parking, so we added asphalt parking there in addition to the lawn and overflow parking. What we also show here is around the parking area is a walking track or an area just for, it's going to be screen gravel or maybe concrete, depending on how we work out the traffic flow part of it, how much it'll be subjected to traffic, whether it be concrete or screen gravel, but it's a very similar, just the screen gravel is a little lighter on the land. We showed some outdoor art spaces as placeholders. There's no magic to where they are, but that's just areas you can display, maybe the old piece of the piece of the old bridge or something like that around this area. Just coming down here to the south is we show an area for the dog park, and we've right now including that on, I believe that has engineered wood is the surface there. In addition to the dog park, you come this way and we have the Abachi ball court complex. And then we have a basketball area that can also be for volleyball, be a place to set up nets if you want a volleyball, and then it can be...
What's that? Pickleball.
And pickleball, you know, so it can be used for a number of different things and it'll be a surface that will last. What we're showing is an expansion to the detention pond. We're going to try to do everything as light on the land as possible, but there will be some additional paved areas, particularly with the asphalt over here. And so whatever we have to do, we have to treat. And so we're planning on expanding the detention pond, and that will be part of the base redevelopment of this area. And then coming up here, I just want to point out that when you have this parking here, we made a couple of connections, one to Harry Hallman Boulevard and one to the drive of the parking area, so the cars can get out and not be just limited to one exit or entrance. What we have here is a misting station. Back in when we did the original master plan here, we showed one that it's modeled after the superstructure of the Ravenel Bridge, and it's a place for people to walk through or bike through and cool off. And coming down here, we have now a splash pad. These things can be, you know, we haven't done any detail work on them, so it can still go through a process of deciding what we want it to look like. But when we have these two areas here, DHEC requires that we have a bathroom. And I think when you develop this side, you're going to have a lot of people over here, so it'd probably be good to have a bathroom so they don't have to walk across Harry Hallman Boulevard. Anyway, so right here we show a bathroom that'll also double as a mechanical room for the equipment for the splash pad or the misting station. Right down here we did something kind of neat. It's nothing magic to the number of these, but what we've seen happen is in a lot of other projects is that outdoor workspaces have become really popular now, especially with the pandemic. So we just showed different sizes and number, but just in this area, because it's close to the parking, we could see that would be something that would be really well used. We put another little playground in here. It can have a toy that goes with some kind of thing like we did over on the other side where we put the deck of the Yorktown. This could be something similar, maybe a shrimp boat or something like that. So it could just be something but we would be very careful to use something that's a stock item, not a specially made item, because we've learned in the past that it's easier to take care of when it's a stock item. Here we have a calisthenic area. I know the one over here going toward the bridge is well used, so we got another one here that's just really popular right now. And again, that just shows a placeholder. We'll lay that out and come back to you with what exactly would be the equipment and things like that. Right in this area here, so what you see, these dots here are the supports for the bridges. And right here, This is used, there's some containers that are in that area. I think Public Works has realized they need a lot more area, so there's a lay-down yard here for containers where they keep things. And so what we included was a maintenance building down in this area. Those can be all over the map, cost-wise, but we just, you know, something that's a pre-engineered building with a concrete slab, maybe something around it to a fencing just for security and safety. And I believe that's about it. We got a connection between the new asphalt and the existing. I think I covered everything, didn't I, Steve?
I think you got it.
Well, Herb, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I'm sorry, Gary, I apologize. I didn't mention about the first responders monument.
Yes.
So right here in the bottom right-hand corner, we got the cafe, the Riverwatch and gift shop is right here, and the existing memorial is right here. And this is the roundabout, so we've got an area right here that's a proposed location for that first responders monument.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think we saw that on previous slides earlier. So, yeah, thanks for including that in there.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay. All of these different options, we have a budget of approximately $6.4 million to be able to utilize for this project. All of these projects total in excess of that. But we were able to go through and we did cost estimates, and I met with Councilman Santos and kind of went over some different areas. And these are the cost estimates, and we've kind of highlighted what we think are some of the priority items to be able to handle within the budget. All of these items that are highlighted is $5,161,200, which leaves $1,238,000 remaining, which could be used either on this project or, as we have discussed before, and it could be transferred to a transportation project.
So. Yeah, thank you, Steve. I think on this, they did not include the building for public services, correct? So we don't know exactly what that's going to be. And I see Jody out there in the audience. Jody, I'm sure the type of building that you would want to have is something that's going to have a cement pad in it and be able to house your equipment. You want to say anything about you know the kind of building you're going to need? Or I don't want to put you on the spot, but since you're here.
It's just a storage building. The rental's only got right now. We share with PRC and we share with the fire department. Something just to store equipment and supplies.
Yeah, but it needs to be, I mean, your equipment's big equipment, so it needs to be a fairly decent size.
Well, the one out there is approximately, off the top of my head, it's about 30 by 20. I mean, if you're not looking at a huge building, it's something just to store some lawnmowers and intermediaries and stuff like that.
Right. You prefer to have the cement foundation, though, rather than?
It would definitely have to have concrete.
Okay, that's what I thought. So we don't have a price on that yet. So I just want to make sure that's known. So in discussing this, and I'll open it up for committee, but in discussing this, we need to add, you know, a contingency in there for that building.
We were able to actually get a cost. It's not included in the original estimates here, but I did ask Mr. Ulliam to take a look at that and give us an estimated cost on that. And Herb, can you explain what you figured for that?
Typically, this is just a pre-engineered building on a concrete slab, but, you know, I think I talked to Joe, would talk with Jody, see if he wants some plumbing out there in case you want a sink. You know, and it probably have to have power. So there's just some things. So again, if it's a simple building just to store things, or if you're going to have it to where you're going to have to do some function, but it can be anywhere from about 50,000 to 90,000. Just that's what I would count on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to make sure we build it for the future as well. So, you know, what we anticipate for later on, in case, you know, Joe, do you need water out there or you need something? I don't want to just build something and then, you know, a couple of years from now, all of a sudden go like, oh my God, we should have put this in the original plan. So please be thinking about the future as well. Since we have the financing for it, I want to go ahead and make sure. I mean, I'm not saying we do a lot of the frills and thrills on it, but But if you see where we may possibly need something, like he was saying, water or certainly power, you know, for lights and all that, then we want to make sure we include that since we do have the funding.
And keeping in mind, you're going to have to do some site work, you got to do access to it, so it's not just buying the building, there's a few other things that have to go along with that, and that's what that number includes.
Okay, I'll go ahead and open up the committee, anybody? Jim?
So I, so the highlighted ones would be the priorities, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So I think this looks great, I think this does prioritize the things that are going to get the most usage from the community, and the things that have been most requested by the community, so I think this is really great, and then I know that Mayor Haney had been wanting to potentially move some funding from Waterfront Park to, I believe, the Long Point area, is that correct? And so does this number build in enough contingency to ensure that everything on this list could be built?
Absolutely, and I don't want to speak over them, and Eric can even jump in, but I think after we get what we just looked at, we'll have $1 million to be able to send it over there, which I think will completely handle one of the plans that he has, one of the road projects, right, Eric?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Yeah, so that $1 million would completely cover that, plus it gives us contingency in the event that something comes up, like I said, in case, you know, Jody does need power or water or something that comes up. So I think it covers it, plus allows us to let that project over there on Long Point Road, and I think it'll fully fund that project as well, so.
Well, I think this is a wonderful way to complete out that park and really make a top flight facility for our community to come have recreation opportunities.
Yeah. Mr. Rambo.
So on the cost side of it, I believe we said at the last meeting that these numbers already include a 10% contingency. Is that correct? Because that's high. I mean, that's a lot.
10%?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know that before you start designing, we kind of like to be a little higher than that because you just never know when you got what you may run into. But yeah, I think it's somewhere in 10% to 15% range.
Okay. Yeah. So it's already got a built-in contingency there. And then I don't know when for instance, the base, the grading and all of that was costed, when that was costed, but I know the site work contractors are pretty cheap at the moment. A couple of questions though. One thing on the splash pad, do we have any idea of what the recurring cost of that would be?
I can get that. I don't know right off the top of my head.
Okay. I think it would be great. It's the only concern I have is, I mean, obviously you're pumping water through there. I don't know what the maintenance of that looks like, what the cost of water or, anyway, that's just one of the main questions I have. Also, can we go back to the picture, please?
You want the one with the photographs on it, or?
Yes, that's perfect. And then, so number three is not going to be done. So areas that are showing something that are not highlighted, are we just going to make those grass, basically? Is that the plan? Or are you going to take what is the priority and even rearrange it further? Or
my expectation on that, and we obviously, my direction of committee, we can do it either way, but I really like this master plan. I think it's a good master plan, and I think that the spaces that are allotted in there for future build out, you know, I think that those are nice items to be able to have in this master plan, if and when funding becomes available in the future to do additional things. So my preference would be to keep the layout as it is, have those spaces available, and know that there are spaces available to put in these additional items, or if as priorities change in the future, it could be something else, but we would know that these items would fit into those areas.
Okay. Is it a given that we get this area from SCDOT to be able to do this? Is that like 100%, or we have to ask?
We do have to. It doesn't need to be requested. I'm not sure if it's something that they that is pretty confident that we will get. I can't speak to that.
Unless there's new information, a few years back in developing this portion of the project, I sat with the DOT regional office and they were supportive of it. but there's been changeover in that office right now. So I think that's a very valid question, and as this project develops and gets close, well, further down the line, obviously we can't build it if we don't have the ownership, or an easement that allows us to use it for a long term. But that's one more thing, just like the annual maintenance cost of the splash pad, that'll have to be back in front of you to make sure you're comfortable with it.
Okay. And Jake, I think also when we were looking at designing this, we're keeping in mind the DOT always has to be able to get their trucks underneath that bridge. So for like the basketball court, you want to make sure that basketball court's built such that they can, they have to roll a truck out on it, it's okay. So it's going to have to be built that way. And but that was, we've always kept that in mind, that's their bridge and they need access to it. And I think the way it's designed, they will always have access to it. And I think that's their most important thing, is being able to get to the bridge in the event they need it.
Okay. As you can see, there is a line designated on there. That's the DOT line. And we did, Herb made an effort in the design, for example, keeping the splash pad, keeping the building, the structure type items above that line, where they are not areas that would not allow access for DOT vehicles.
Yes. So they built that in mind.
Yeah. My only request would be that the splash pad area 6, I think that the area 7, just adding like an extra little piece of playground equipment there, and then you have the basketball courts here, I think that would really complete it. So I hate cutting out number 7. I don't know how everybody else feels, but I feel like if the goal is to give $1 million back, even with 75K, the maintenance shed, I feel like we can put in an extra little piece of equipment there. Thinking about taking a whole family there, that just makes it a much more desirable spot.
So item number 7 on your highlighted page would be which one, Steve?
I think it's the shrimp boat playground.
The shrimp boat playground, $195,000 estimate on that.
Hey, you know, for me, I'm good with it. I was good with the whole thing, but we just, you know, I was just trying to, pull out some things so that we could help the area over on Long Point Road. But certainly, if y'all want to keep that in there, we can do that. I don't think it's that expensive of an item.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Absolutely.
Because there's different options here. And questions to you, Herb. I mean, presumably, committee says green light and we move forward here on phase 3. Mm-hmm. What's next steps to have this ready for construction? For bid, I should say.
Well, unfortunately, but because how this all evolved, we surveyed the wetland line last time, but we didn't send it to get jurisdictional determination because our money was all focused on the other side of the road. So the first thing I would do is get that line reestablished, because that's the longest lead time, is the jurisdictional determination. But but everything can keep going on concurrently, and I think we could have this thing designed and be ready to bid sometime first quarter, toward the end of the first quarter of next year.
Will there be another cost estimate prior to that? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, a cost estimate will come back. We'll know whether we can fit 7 or not. If it doesn't fit in the cost estimate, we can bid it as an alternate.
That's right.
Okay.
Be an option too, and then when the bids come back in, you'll see where it all shakes out, and you'll have options.
Yes.
Well, I think
my preference, if that's okay with the committee. I feel like, so moving forward, I mean, should we not? What kind of action do we need? I mean, to approve this conceptual plan, I guess, and we'll. With 7 as an option, optional if there's room. And then, so are we saying by doing that, what am I trying to say? So are we saying we're going to spend, I think there's a total of 6.4, if I did my math right, 4.9 from TIF, 800K from state accommodations, and 700K from hospitality. So 6.4. So basically, with committee right now, we're approving a project with a total budget of .4, is what we're saying, and we're going to give a million of the TIF funds to the Long Point Road project.
Yes.
And then that then goes to council for full approval, or?
Well, this project is an approved project of council, so it's already a capital project of ours. This cost sharing has been discussed at council with potentially money going over for transportation projects on Long Point. They'll be talking about this later today. Since it's already an approved project, if Transportation Committee is comfortable with the recommendation, then I don't see any further action needed by town council, because committee historically has the ability to slice and dice what elements they want in a project. But I do think it's possible, it makes sense going forward that we leave here today with the cost, total project cost that you mentioned, and then we'll go back and work to get all the elements we can into it, hopefully number 7 too. Bring it back to you one more time with all the information in front of you prior to letting it out for bid. That would be the plan forward.
And at what, sorry.
Go ahead.
And at what point would getting the DOT sign off on the land, I mean, it's, do we want to put the cart, I feel like it's putting the cart before the horse to go do all this work, and then if DOT is like, no.
That needs to start right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would, say that again, Aaron.
Our communication and potential land transfer with DOT has to start immediately.
Right. I guess my question would be the First Responders Monument, since that's over on the other side, completely away from all of that. Can we start with that first? Can we get that moving? So, or do we have to wait until this whole other part of the park is approved, since we got the funding for it?
Ideally, we could move forward. Ideally,
We already have the design. We've already approved the design.
Ideally, we'd have one contractor. Ideally, we'd have one contractor.
Yeah.
However, if it was committee's desire to go ahead and do this separately, we could do that too. We'll just bid it out separate and get a contractor to do it. We own the land.
I just think it's a cost savings to do it all at one time, I think, with one manager.
Well, I'm just thinking it's something that we can go ahead and move forward with. I don't think we'll need DOT's permission.
Right.
We have the money. We've been working on this for a long time. I think it's, for me, I'd like to see it go ahead and get started, unless you think we shouldn't do it for some reason. I think that's something that we can go ahead and move forward with while we're waiting for all this other stuff.
Yeah, that's a committee decision.
Yeah. Well, committee, what do y'all think?
I mean, for me, it's about cost, the overall cost. So if it's going to cost, I think it's listed at $150,000. Is that correct? For the first responders?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, as long as it stays under that, I don't know.
We already have the design. That's been done. We approved the design already. So now it just needs to be built.
I think we have a conceptual only. Is that right?
We have a conceptual.
Okay. So
it's not full design.
Right.
It's conceptual.
We need to take it from the approved concept that committee approved and develop it for constructability, construction design. So. But we can move forward with that, and let's see how long that takes, and then we can have this discussion perhaps at a future meeting.
Okay.
Wingo Way, who owns Wingo Way?
What we do. It's a town road.
That's a town road.
Okay. Anything else? Need anything else from us, Eric?
No, sir. We'll proceed as discussed.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Thank you, Herb.
Thank you, Herb.
All right. Thanks.
Item number 8 is discussion regarding future funding for Mount Pleasant Recreation Department capital improvement projects. And Steve, I'll defer back to you.
All right. Let me pull this back up. Yeah. As you know, we have a list of capital projects that we would like to do here in the town, some of which have funding and many of which do not. I'm able to, as you can see on this list here, this is the list of capital projects through 2025, FY25, showing that we do have funding for for, there's some funding for Mount Pleasant Way, the Jones Center renovation in 2024, I believe that is, and the Carolina Park Phase 4. Most of the other projects, as you can see over this year and the next 5 years, do not have any funding available for them at this time. The discussion that we wanted to have was just with committee on the projects that we have and how do we get there from here with no future funding. These projects will sit here. They will stay on our list. They'll stay on our list as projects that we would like to do for the town, but without any funding, they won't be executed anytime in the near future. I've taken this list and kind of shortened it a little bit. I took out Recreation Way, which is a long-term project that'll be over many, many years, and showed some of the direct ones in the Recreation Department and the existing funding that we have. These right here are probably our priority projects out of that list. I just kind of made a little bit larger so you can read a little bit better and see those that we would like to prioritize for the department. And to be able to have funding for these is tremendously important. As you know, the Park West Pool, we have a swimming pool. We don't have locker rooms. We don't have air conditioning over there. We don't, the Duffy Fields, the baseball fields are in great need of repair. We would like to be able to finish Carolina Park and expand the tennis center. So all of these are very important. The Park West Track, we have facilities that are in need of repair. And I would prioritize, given the option, I would prioritize those facilities that need to be brought up to speed and that are in disrepair to get them in good functioning order, probably above that before funding newer projects. As you can see on this list, I don't have Rifle Range Road even listed on here because I would prioritize the finishing at Carolina Park, having the restrooms at the swimming pool at Park West taken care of, resurfacing the Park West track, and several of these areas that need a lot of attention. So these are projects that we have that do not have funding at this time, and we wanted to have some discussion on how we get there from here.
Gary. Jim?
I have a quick question. This Memorial Waterfront Park Phase 3, we have funding for that, isn't that?
That is correct. We do. You're not showing out your funding. The funding that we have is in a current year, so it just didn't show up on this list.
Okay, so this one is not necessarily.
I'm glad you picked that up. That's in a current year, and these are showing out years on this list.
Yeah, because wasn't Phase 3 the dock?
Phase 2.
That was Phase 2. That was the pier.
That was Phase 2.
So we could cross off.
We could process.
I had the same question about Carolina Park Recreation Complex. Didn't we, I thought we were moving forward with that as of, when's the last time we talked about, 3 months ago?
Only for certain portions of it. We were not able to complete Carolina Park. All we're going to be putting in there at this time is going to be the baseball field and one or two softball fields, depending on how far funding will go. There are other parts in there. There's a playground, there's a dog park, there's a basketball court, there's another rectangular field.
Another soccer field, right?
Another soccer field over there that we were not able to do at this time with existing funding.
But that included all of the site work on the whole property to bring it up?
Not for the entire property, but yes, for a large portion of the property where it would be wetlands to be able to.
Doesn't our wetland permit expire soon?
I believe it's in 2022 the wetland permit expires. And without, but in the funding that we have right now, that's why so much of the funding that we have right now, it may seem like it doesn't go far and only getting a couple fields out of it, but a large portion of it is bringing up the land, because that's a big deal to be able to bring up that land and bring in truckloads of dirt so it isn't designated as a wetland.
Well, even the fields, I was out there the other day, after a rain, there's a lot of water on those fields. And so I think we also need existing fields to make sure that we put some more dirt on that to make it to where it doesn't hold all that water. Mm-hmm. So
in the discussion of, so sorry.
Go ahead.
In the discussion of future funding, I mean, can we talk about where the funding for REC comes from and what that looks like for the future for these capital projects? Just because I think that it dovetails nicely into item number 9, because I think the answer is there is no money. Is that kind of the answer?
Yes, and that's...
That's why we put that on number nine, yes. That's why it's there, because your recommendation the other day...
Track in the right direction.
So, correct, Mrs. Whitley. As you saw from going through our capital process and reviewing the document, that recreation, perhaps more than any other function of the town, has a more difficult time receiving funding for projects, and that has to do with how local governments receive revenue, mostly. The bottom line is it's thin going out. And so while there were times when we were able to capture and go after some projects, there aren't many on the horizon. And so that's the discussion and the question in front of you today.
And we have fields like we talked about earlier, Rifle Range Road. We can't even develop. I mean, there's absolutely no money to develop that. And we talked about putting a little art center there and things like that. We just don't have the funding for them. And that's why I was so happy to hear you say something about a referendum on recreation the other day, because I think that's important. And if we specifically say the items that we want to do, I think in the past it probably didn't. It didn't pass because there were things that were said that really didn't tell the citizens exactly where that money was going, and so they weren't sure about it. But now, since we've gotten things detailed out about where we need to go, I mean, I feel like it could be successful because people want recreation. They absolutely, it's what I hear all the time.
Before we talk about the referendum, can I just go back for a second and ask a couple questions? Can we go back one more slide?
Sure. Please?
Mount Pleasant Way, all of that funding that's shown in 21, 22, 23, whatever, that's all green belt. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it's all land acquisition.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the Jones Center comprehensive repair, was that the safety improvements and then also like the gym floor, I think, was...
That is
what did that include?
There's the gym floor. There's the redesign of the lobby to get the island out of the center of the lobby and move them over to the side, where there's some safety improvements in there, as well as some of the access to the hallways. There's along with that, there's a lot of air conditioning. There's some AC stuff, some lighting in the gym as well. The main area is the redesign of the lobby and portion of the front restroom, creating family restrooms.
Yes.
When you come into the front area of there. Jim.
Okay. And then the final question, I've heard a lot about the Park West pool and it, the $2.2 million, what are the main needs at the Park West pool?
The primary need at the Park West pool is to have lockers in the locker room and air conditioning in the locker room. So this is a demo of the existing building over there, of the front. The pool stays there. It's not a demo of the swimming pool or of the structure over the pool, but it's a demo of the front building, the front lobby, front desk, access to the pools. So people don't have to walk through, men don't have to walk through the women's restroom or take their child through the men's restroom. There's family restrooms that are incorporated in there, air conditioning for a locker room, and locker space, just making it a larger area and just more complete area.
Okay. That was my questions. Thank you. I just wasn't sure exactly what all that was.
Well, I think that the for a voter referendum, I think that the task of this committee would be to work with the Recreation Department to prioritize what projects need to be. And I think that it needs to be clear on this referendum that this is a sunsetting provision. So this would be, support public recreation, but if we raise the right amount, this could sunset in 20 years or some, you know what I mean, or 10 years, depending on how we structure it. And then I think, for me, while I think the Mount Pleasant Way is a fantastic project that needs doing, the price tag of that is $60 million, which is just, it seems so out of reach to ask for that it bundled in with everything else. So I think that for me, I would prioritize the comprehensive repairs to all the existing facilities, Rifle Range Road Park, and the art center. That would be because that's something that we entirely lack in the town as an art center. And then because we have all this land at Rifle Range Road that is just sitting there, turning that into a usable park, right, to me would be at least phase one phase one of Rifle Range Road would be something that I would support. And I think that that's a reasonable enough dollar amount to come to the community and say, look, your money is going to go to these needed repairs, and we can detail that all out. And then it's going to go to the first build out of Rifle Range Road Park, and then an art center for the community. And I think that there's support in the community for all those things. While I do think the Mount Pleasant Ways is key, I feel like that would almost need to be a separate thing on its own, because the price tag is so huge.
Yeah.
To ask for that.
And I think the Rifle Range Park, being as it's in the middle of the town, serves both areas of the town easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have South and we have, people don't like South and North. We have athletic facilities like on this far side of field and like on this far side of town, and then the other far side of town is like the middle is kind of missing.
Mm-hmm. But we do kind of have the middle, and if you count the Jones Center and you count Joe Guard's baseball fields, those are like in the middle, but that's not adequate compared to what's on the northern and the southern end. So that's why I think that the park there would really be able to serve that middle area as well, because it's really difficult for parents to come home, grab their child, and have to run all the way across town, you know, to fight that traffic for practice, then come all the way back. You know, if we had a facility there where they could kind of come there, I think it would make it a lot easier on the parents as well. As well as the new developments around here, people being able to ride their bikes to it, that's going to be very important, as well as that we can make sure we can have it accessible by biking and hiking, and so people don't always have to jump in their car and take their car, you know. Yes, sir, go ahead.
As far as a referendum, I guess I'm unclear of how does that work? What kind of taxes would a referendum be looking at? Like, because I don't think we have any authority to put a referendum for any sort of sales tax, do we, or what?
No,
what would we be asking for? I don't understand.
You'd be asking for ad valorem taxes.
For what?
For taxes, ad valorem.
Just property taxes. Tax. Yeah. Okay.
And the general rule is 1 mil of taxes will get you anywhere between $800,000 and $1 million. Let's just say for purpose of example, 1 mil gets you $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
To develop
$1 million a year.
Rifle Range, correct. That's 1 mil. To develop Rifle Range Road, you're looking at $20-30 million just for that project. So that's a 20-30 year bond just for that. So you'd be looking at, I think, if you chose to go this route, chose to recommend this to council, you'd be looking at 1, 2, perhaps 3 mils for projects. My advice would be we can reach for everyday maintenance items. So the Park West track is listed on here at $400,000. But we have a capital maintenance fund that we fund every year pretty mm-hmm. significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something we can work through and handle. Mm-hmm. It's the big items. It's the Rifle Range Road. It's finishing Park West 4. It's reconstructing the Park West pool. It's things, true capital items. Now, that's how the numbers shake out. As far as time frame, you'd have to have something, the language to the County Board of Elections by next August. So you have, 10 months or so to work out the language for them if you wanted it to be on the November 2021 ballot.
Okay. And that can be a referendum we can put on the off year, or we could put on an even year, correct? I mean, obviously we can't put it on next month, but
correct.
We could put it on even years as well.
Yes.
That's okay. Right. Yeah. Does that cost the town anything to put a referendum on the ballot, or?
No.
Okay.
Just staff time, but that's included.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now I guess I'll just kind of repeat kind of what I said at the last meeting. I don't think a referendum would have any chance of passing in the current climate. So until the economy really gets going again, it's probably not wise to put it on there. So in my mind, it would be probably more of a 2020, unless things really turn around, it would probably be better served as a 2022 ballot item than a 2021. And you also get a lot better voter turnout in the even years, as we all know. So anyway, that's just, so we've got a while to me to kind of think about it. I don't know that I could support putting it on, nor would I think it would pass next year.
I don't know, I'm hearing a lot from citizens that they want more, that they want stuff done, and I think we're starting to see things, you know, turn around now. More and more places are opening up. You see, look at athletics. I mean, you've got more and more professional games opening up. There's a lot more things going on. People are going back to school. I think by next year at this time, I think it's a good chance. So I think it's something that we need to investigate and look at. We don't have to pull the trigger until we get really close, but I think we ought to start working on it now. I don't want to wait till next year and go, okay, everything's great. Now we got to start working on it. I think we ought to start working on it now. And then, like you said, we have time to do it or not do it, but really, I think we should start working on it now.
Yeah, I'm comfortable working on it now because I feel like it's going to take a lot of teasing out to get the language right,
well,
to get something
right.
that will be palatable to the public, that they truly understand where the money is going and what they're going to get for what they pay for. I think that the dollar amounts involved, I mean, 1 to 3 mils, if you have a $450,000 house, that's like, what, $20, $40, or $60 a year for 20 years, maybe, you know, if that's enough to get us there. It doesn't seem to me to be a prohibitive amount of money. Now, if we were to include every single thing on this list, then I think it would start to get, you know, a little bit unwieldy. But for the truly needed things, and I think that what I would like to see from the Recreation Department is, you know, your top 10 list. You know, what's the top 10 list? And I guess that's kind of what this is with these scores and everything. But like, I guess I have a question. What's this, the enclosed therapy pool at $8 million? Is that, there's already a pool at Arla Jones. Is this an additional pool?
This is an additional pool at the Jones Center. It is a pool set with, it's a warm water pool. Where to set aside, there's a lot of competition for use of the pool. When I say competition, competing groups that want to use the pool between our water aerobics and our swim lessons and those folks and our swim teams and the lap swimmers. Two advantages to an enclosed therapy pool is you have a warm water, which our aerobics folks and our
the Jones Center pool
swim
is so
lessons.
Cold.
That
are so cold.
We, you know, it's a funny little game that we play with the water at the Jones Center. We try to keep it at 82 degrees, which actually the lap swimmers wanted at about 78, and the water aerobics and the other folks wanted at 84. So usually, if we're getting an equal amount of complaints from both sides, we figure we're hitting it right about in the right spot. But it's a way to accommodate both groups more effectively, and the needs of those areas. So yes, it is an additional pool. It's a smaller additional pool over there for those programs.
Jake, anything else?
I guess I one more question for you, Eric. I'm still trying to understand. So a mill raises $1 million. So, but we would be bonding. I mean, do we have room and bonding capacity to be? So would it be in the form of almost like? I'm trying to figure out how much money does a 2 mil referendum really give you right now to do projects?
Right. Couple things. If it's a voter-approved referendum, it's outside the cap. So sky's the limit, essentially, because the voters themselves said it was okay. 2 mils would give you roughly $2 million a year. You could choose to do a 10-year bond, which tends to be more favorable. That's usually our preference. You can go to a 20 or 25-year bond, which just extends it out. So, you know, you're looking at if you chose... you know, 2 mils over 10 years, there's 20 million over 20, 25 years, you're in $40-50 million range. What's remarkable is that's a lot of money. However, it's amazing how quickly.
It doesn't go that far.
Yeah. So as we move forward, if committee chooses to move forward in developing this for council's consideration, we probably perhaps need to have an opening discussion about goals and objectives and future trends in recreation and what's sort of coming our way, what we need, and then maybe then start backing into projects that will satisfy that and then funding of the projects through a potential referendum.
Well, that makes sense to me.
I'm comfortable with that. And well, I agree with Jake's idea that 2022 would potentially be better because of the economy, I feel like because the town council races are in the odd years, a referendum should be on the ballot for the year of a town council running, so that, because I mean, then you know what your candidates stand for, right? Like, whereas if it's in sort of an off year, it just sort of is thrown out there, you know, and there's not really any sort of, I don't know. I just think it's better to be, if it's going to be a town council referendum, then it should be in a year where there's the town elections. That's my thought.
I think you get more people out to vote for it, for sure. Okay, anything else? Eric, anything else you need from us?
No, sir. If you'd like, we can continue to start to prepare, get information together, have more discussions.
You need a motion for that?
No, sir.
Okay.
Along Mr. DeMora's points, I mean, for the next committee meeting, I mean, I would love to hear kind of what he said, kind of go back and what are the goals? What are our major goals of the Recreation Department, and what are the Michigan critical things that we're working on, not just from a capital perspective, but what do we want our Recreation Department to be? And then we see and try to fit some of these items into what that is, because if, like, for instance, if you ask the rec department staff, will probably tell you there's plenty of soccer fields or whatever. You ask parents who our kids are playing on all these various teams, and they'll tell you there's not enough space to practice, and there's all, because it meets the recreation department needs as far as recreation soccer, but maybe it doesn't meet the community needs as far as how many actual other soccer teams and stuff are trying to use the field. So I think it would be good for us to get a, you know, just what are overarching goals and objectives that we're trying to achieve. So who are we trying to serve?
Okay.
Sir?
All right, Steve, last item is number 10. Eric, so you don't need a motion, we said, on number 9, right?
No, sir.
Okay. So item number 10, just a quick update. We got 5 minutes. We want to make sure we give the other committee a
Well, I'll try to make this quick so we don't go over time on that. Programs are going very well. We were able to open the Royal Courts recently. Thank you for being there for that. And we have also done several special events in lieu of some of the other ones that have been canceled. We had a movie out at Carolina Park for the first time this past weekend. We had the opera event, first time we've had an opera event at Waterfront Park, and we do have a really neat event that's going to be right out here at Town Hall coming up in October, October 18th, where there's going to be a group performing out there doing some John Denver, Linda Ronstadt songs, so it ought to be a nice event. But with that, along the lines of our programs, we had some discussion regarding the Christmas parade and what should happen with the Christmas parade. I met with Councilman Santos last week. We met with police and fire and public service and myself and Nicole Harvey, who I think is still here. And we started talking about the Christmas parade and what we should do, if we should continue on with the Christmas parade, given the COVID situation that we are in the pandemic, or if we should look at some alternate ideas. And we proposed both options. And so we wanted to have a discussion. We said we would bring it up here at committee. The two options basically that are on the table is something along the line of doing the parade, which we know we can do. We know how to do a parade. We're fully capable of putting on a parade. We also have ability to do some control of the lineup and the people and the participants in there. There's probably mitigation things that we could put in place to keep some spacing and stuff along those lines. We would not be able to control the crowd and the people and the spectators. That's just not something we would be able to do. So that was taken into consideration. And then the alternate options was a kind of bring the parade to the neighborhood. And I say parade in air quotes, where it would be a very small type of thing where you would maybe have the police department on motorcycles and a fire truck with Santa Claus, and possibly if we could get a drum corps from one of the high schools in on a trailer to be able to play, and maybe iHeartRadio or somebody to be able to provide some another music venue, probably 4 or 5 floats or items, you know, going by through a neighborhood and selecting neighborhoods throughout Mount Pleasant to do that at nighttime, lit up as on several different evenings. So those are the two options that we discussed. And Councilman Santos, did you want to mention that?
Absolutely. And they were great discussions. And you know, we felt like definitely all, everybody there, the police, fire, and everybody felt like we could do it. We could, usually there are about 100 floats. We could cut it down to 60 floats if we wanted to, so we could minimize it. We could make sure that we do the social distancing on the parade. Like you said, though, you know, if the citizens come in, I think most people will be wearing their masks. I noticed at the park the other day, the one at the parks, town center, it was outdoor event. They didn't require masks, but everybody had masks on. I think people will wear a mask. I think they will social distance as much as possible. And the ones that don't, we'll live stream it so they can watch it on TV. If they don't want to come out to the parade, they can stay home with their children and watch it on TV. But I think we need to start planning it once again, because we don't want to wait until it gets closer and then all of a sudden find out, yeah, it's okay to do, and now we're behind the eight ball, because Nicole's got a tremendous amount of planning she has to do. And so that's why I was thinking we can start planning it now, and then we'll see as we get closer and closer, and if we have to, you know, cut bait, then we'll do that. But I think we can do it, and I think the people are being, from what I saw out at our party at the opera at the park, everybody had masks on, and they're outside. Same up here. People are being smart. They're wearing their masks, and I think they'll do that at the parade as well. And if they don't want to come out and be around people, they can certainly watch it at home live streaming. So that was my thought.
Ms. Santos?
Jim?
I think that with the magnitude of the parade and the size of the crowds, I think it would be smaller because of people's concerns about COVID, and it just seems like a much larger environment than the waterfront park. And I wonder if it'd be possible to do some sort of holiday event at the waterfront park, because it's a known quantity. You've done it before, you've done the opera, you've done the movies, and it's been a success, and people have come and people have spaced, and it's a controlled environment. I feel like turning it linear and having it go for a mile, I mean, there is a lot of room to space out. I don't know. It's just, it's such a hard call to make. And I guess my question would be, would something like a holiday event at the park be, you know, give that opportunity to citizens who want to come out and experience the Mount Pleasant Christmas experience and do it in a way that we know it's been done before, rather than try to do a full-on parade where, you know, there's so many unknowns and so many, and we, what we don't want is for that to become a super spreader event.
But we did talk about that, and I think grouping everybody up down at the park, you're forcing everybody to get closer together, whereas it's a mile, 1.2 mile long parade route. It's a lot more area for people to spread out in that 1.2 miles than if you bring everybody to the park. Then now we're all forced to be close together. So that was discussed as well. That's what I liked about the parade, was the fact that people can spread out, you know, but if we do it, because I mentioned that same thing you just mentioned, having it there, that means everybody's going to come and it's going to be at that group. And it may be where you can't social distance because, you know, everybody wants to come to it. And you only got a certain area here. So that was my idea, was to just, you know, the parade, because you got, like I said, 1.2 miles for people to spread out. And not, like you said, not everybody's going to come. Some people will worry about it. The weather could be inclement weather. There could be a lot of things that limit the amount of people who come out. But I think spreading it out makes it easier so that people can social distance.
Jake? So I think when you read a lot about what they've discovered about the virus and everything, there's a much greater concern for indoor environments than there are outdoor environments. And so it being, like you said, a mile or whatever long, I mean, you could pretty well space out, and I bet the crowd sizes would probably be smaller. And as far as limiting floats, you probably won't even have to, because there probably will be less businesses. I can't imagine schools trying to do it, or, you know, there probably will be less floats anyway. I definitely think we should have a live stream option for those that don't want to come. But then it just comes down to a personal choice issue for me. I mean, if we require masks in grocery stores and pharmacies because people can't avoid those places. But if you don't want to go to the parade, then don't go to the parade. But I don't know. I think our kids need some normalcy this Christmas, so I'm all for it, for doing a parade like normal. Do I guess my question is, I don't know what, to take this committee's direction, does this need to go to a full council vote? What do you feel needs to happen?
It needs a council vote.
Okay, so I would like to recommend that, to full council, that we do a Christmas parade this year.
I'll second. Okay, we got a motion second.
I just have, want to ask, Steve, is this something that the staff is comfortable with doing? You feel prepared to do an event of this magnitude, given the circumstances? You feel comfortable with that?
We know that we are capable of putting on the parade and doing it very well, as we always have in the past. As far as the, whether it should be done is a decision of council, and we'll be happy to follow that.
Yeah, and the police were there at our meeting, and Jody was there and all, and they were comfortable that they could handle it as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Is that, you finished?
That's a thing. We didn't go too far over.
No?
Yeah, that's all.
We're good.
So 2 minutes behind.
That's not too bad. We had a lot on our agenda. Thank you all for coming, everybody. We appreciate it. We're adjourned.